about your background and how you got into interior design?
Sure. So I actually entered this field after I graduated from college with a degree in American Studies and a concentration in art history. So I didn't have a straight up design degree, but I always had an affinity for design, architecture, interior design, landscape design, all of that good stuff. I also loved the decorative arts, and that's one of the reasons why I kind of had this concentration in art history as well. So I moved to DC after school, after graduating from school, and I went to school in Virginia. And once I interviewed with a home furnishings and design firm, I loved the person who interviewed me, but she said, "I would just love for you to have some supplemental design courses since you don't have a formal degree." So she recommended that I go to University of Maryland at College Park because, as I said, I was living in DC at the time, so it was an easy commute, and they had a nice program that was, geared towards what I needed. It was really, as I said, more supplemental. I didn't need another, couple of years. It was enough to learn how to do blueprints and renderings and that type of thing. And in addition to that, learning like space planning, floor plans, and so much of what I learned after she hired me, by the way, because it was enough to convince her that I was committed to doing this. So much of what I learned was really on the job and shadowing other more senior designers. So I became one of their in-house designers, and it was a great place to land because, as you know, DC is a very international market, and most of our clients came from the diplomatic community. So it was lovely and a great place to cut my teeth, if you will, in a very affluent market with clients who had a real appreciation for design and furnishings, and we did it all. It was window treatments, furniture, lighting, accessories, so the whole nine yards. And so then, after living in DC, I moved to Pittsburgh when my husband was in graduate school at the time, and he went to Carnegie Mellon, and I continued to work in the field of design, eventually landing a job at a small design firm there. And then when we moved to New Jersey, I followed him for professional reasons to New Jersey. I ended up going to work for Arhaus, which is a very well-known home furnishings company. And I've been with Arhaus now for 8 years, and I'm one of two designers in Princeton. We have four assistants working with us in the studio, and the studio concept is our latest concept at Arhaus. It is a smaller footprint location, typically in a smaller town like Princeton or Park City, Utah, and we're a little more, I would say, design driven, and we offer very personalized attention to our clients. So that's the long and the short of it.
That's awesome. It's been quite the journey, huh?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Thank
And
you.
I know you mentioned, from the DC days, you're doing a lot of work for diplomats, et cetera. What would you say is like the coolest project you've worked on, the coolest transformation you've done? And then maybe what are some things you learned in the process about actually creating an inviting space for families?
So I would say the coolest project would be working with the Embassy of Singapore. And that's going back to my DC days. But again, because with the diplomatic community, they serve a particular length of time, a term, and then there's turnover. So we had to bid for this job. So we competed against a few other companies and we landed the job. We furnished five houses for them in a year for employees at various levels within the embassy. So we didn't furnish the embassy itself, we furnished the homes of employees of the embassy from, a minister of whatever it was that he was the minister of at the time, down to employees who reported to him. But it was a fun process. We worked very closely with them. you know, we picked everything out for them, from, you know, the major pieces of furniture to their window treatments to their bed linens, you know, so that was the type of job that was. And I know that was, it was a two-part question that you asked me also about designing for families as well.
So like in the process, I know you said, so like working with the Singaporean embassy's employees, yes. You know, you're designing these, like everything basically, full yes. service, their homes. What did you learn in that process for creating inviting space for all these different families, especially multicultural yes. families?
Absolutely. So that was, I think, one of the biggest things that I learned, and fortunately it was early on in my career, how to accommodate different expectations, managing those expectations, because Singapore is a multicultural country. I learned how to sort of work with people who might hail from India originally, or Malaysia, or China, and it became very specific because their taste, and all of our taste, I think, is informed by, you know, what shapes us. So it could be, you know, our cultural norms, or our spiritual background, or, you know, what colors are popular within a particular culture of a particular country. And so what I always tell my clients now, and what I learned then, is I take my cues from you. I take my cues from my clients. So I am going to help you get there. I will help you achieve your vision, but ultimately it's your home and you'll be living there. So my job is to help you to personalize your space. I will offer you good design and sort of this vehicle to get to that finished product, you know, and I feel like it needs to be always balanced and layered and ultimately personalized, because it's those personal touches. Maybe it's something that you've collected in your travels over the years, or your family photos. Those are those little things that you layer in at the end, which make it your space ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then let's say just had a couple of babies and you're mm-hmm. now looking to move into a new home. What are some maybe budget friendly tips for moms that you would give them, or homemakers, or just families in general that yes. want to refresh their existing homes or create a cozy atmosphere in the new homes they're moving into?
Yes. Well, I would say first figure out what your own style story is, and you can look to shelter magazines for inspiration. You could go to a site like Pinterest. You could come see me at our house. You could look at our website. Our catalogs are beautifully done. Instagram is a great source as well. There are so many sites, so many Instagrams now that feature a particular style, or somebody might specialize in old house architecture, or someone else might feature, you know, modern design. And so whatever your own personal style story is, whatever informs your taste, determine that first. And then in terms of, and then go for it, you know, and you can certainly consult a professional like myself to help you get there. If you're on a budget, I would say look at those things that inspire you from, you know, maybe a higher end place. But if you're not on a budget for that, you can certainly replicate. I love high and low design. I call it high and low. So if you're looking at something, maybe the sofa that really does it for you is like, you know, an $8,000 sofa, but your budget is $1,200. You could get a similar look by locating it from if you're just starting out, a home furniture, like a Wayfair, for instance. Maybe you go there for a look that you see in a traditional home magazine, but you're not quite at that level. And oftentimes, in a spread in a magazine like Traditional Home, they'll feature high and low design, and they'll show you the price points of each and the similarities. It's very similar to fashion, you know, and I like to mix it in. So I might do a room filled with, you know, more high-end pieces, but I'll mix a Target piece in, or I'll mix something in from Home Goods. Throw pillows, for instance, you know, if somebody doesn't want to spend $200 on a throw pillow, they could get a great throw pillow at Home Goods for $29.99, you know, so those types of things, layering, accessories, area rugs, that's another place where when I'm working with families, especially with young children, pets, that is probably in the number one area where they say, okay, we'll spend it on the sofa because we know it's made in North Carolina. We know it's great quality, but the area rug is just going to get shredded because I have a Jack Russell Terrier, or, you know, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I'll say, here's the size rug you need. You need a 9x12 for this space. And if you don't want to spend X amount, you know, several thousands of dollars, go to Home Goods, go to Home Sense. But here's the palette we're working with. Send me some pictures when you find it, and I'll say thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, it works or it doesn't work. So yeah, there are tricks of the trade to help with the budget for sure.
Absolutely. From my understanding, a lot of times working with the right designer can save you a lot of money as well, because they can say, well, you want this style, so here's what you should do. And here's like, yeah, you want to buy this $8,000 sofa, but here's also the cheaper version you could that might be more budget friendly.
Yes.
Talk to me maybe a little bit about how, let's say, a family who's never worked with an interior designer can go about finding an amazing person like yourself. How do you choose the right professional? How do you know who's right for you? How do you filter out all the, you know, people who aren't going to really design a good space for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first thing would be to, there are a couple different ways we can tackle this. I'm going to just talk about my space for a minute, because I represent design within a company that offers complimentary service, right? So I always tell my clients, I come with your furniture. So if you are going to make a purchase from our house, and it's a significant purchase, obviously, and you want your room to be space planned properly, that's why I'm here. I'm here to offer that service to you, help you pull it all together, and it's going to be full service design, but you're not having to pay me, you know, a consulting fee or an hourly fee to do it. If you're buying our furniture, I'm going to just be doing this for you. And it's a service that comes with that purchase. So that's one way to do it. I always also tell people, if you'd like to see examples of my work, just to make sure that I'm a good fit for you, you can go on my Instagram and take a look at my, you know, portfolio. That's a virtual portfolio for me. And I have, you know, sure, I'll have some pictures of myself with, you know, family and friends traveling, but interspersed in there are my designs. So I am public on Instagram. I'm at Michelle's Fab Designs. And all of the designers for our house throughout the country, because we have like over 100 locations now, have their own personal Instagram account. So again, I know I've cited Instagram multiple times, but it's a great source for looking at designers within the community, seeing, you know, who you might mesh with stylistically. And then it's absolutely appropriate to have an initial meeting with the designer to see if you connect on a more personal level, because we are going to be working with you for months, sometimes years. And I have clients who've done multiple houses with me because we've connected, and in some cases we've even become friends. And so, you know, I start out with a primary residence, and then maybe they call me in to do the vacation home. Then they sell that home, and then they relocate to Florida, and now they want me to help them with that house. So that's sort of the domino effect of it. But absolutely talk to the person that you're considering, the designer that you're considering first, sort of interview them and see if it's right. And always look at their work. You can ask to see a portfolio. You can look at work that they've done, like I said, on Instagram. And referrals are great as well. So if you know someone who's worked with a designer, I get a lot of my business through referrals. And it's one of the most beautiful parts of what I do, because if I do a good job for a client, they'll let their sister know, or they'll let their, you know, friend know, or their neighbor, and then they're passing my name on to that person that they've recommended me to. So it's a two-way street, but at the end of the day, always know that we're working for you, and that's how it should be, because it's our job, as I said, to get you to from conception. I like to say from conception to completion.
Awesome. And then let's say you've got someone who, or a family who's a little bit stubborn. They don't want to go with someone. They just want to do it themselves. What are some mistakes that they could avoid by just, like, you know, listening to you here today? What are some common mistakes you see people make when they're designing their homes, buying decor, et cetera?
Yeah, that's another great question. Common mistakes. First thing would be, let's make sure everything fits in the space. So one of the most common mistakes that I've seen is, you know, someone who tried to do it him or herself and bought a sofa that was too big, or a sectional that was too overwhelming or overpowering for the space. Or what are some other mistakes? Hanging things. Hanging a painting too high, hanging a chandelier too high. Typically, it's going too high rather than the opposite direction. Not sizing an area rug properly for a room. Not knowing how high do I hang the chandelier over the dining room table, or what's the right size rug for this room. Those are some of the common ones. Costlier mistakes certainly are making an investment in furniture that's expensive, but not getting the right fit or the right proportion. And also, I am a big believer too in buying quality, because if you do buy quality at the outset, it is going to outlast something of lesser quality. You know, it'll typically withstand the test of time. Upholstery, I love to see upholstery coming out of North Carolina, for instance, because I know that the crafts people in North Carolina have been making that type of furniture for generations, and those plants have been there for decades and decades. And so you're going to get a decent quality piece of furniture that you might pay a little more for up front, but it's going to last you for 10 years, 15 years, 20, you know, maybe you have to recover a piece, but the frame is going to be solid hardwood that's kiln dried. You know, sometimes it's an 8-way hand tied coil spring construction, whatever it is, that's going to be superior to something that I would consider, you know, more disposable. And if you're investing in your home, you want to make sure you, and you're willing to spend a little bit more, you want it to last. So you want something that's built to last, basically. So yeah, I would say being informed is important.
Mm-hmm. I know you talked about, like, picking the wrong furniture and the couch is too big, or it's not functional, or doesn't match, you know, what kind of feel you want, et cetera. How does one go about selecting the right furniture? What are, like, the different ways you evaluate and you say, well, this is right and this is right? I know, like, measuring and obviously, like, the size is the obvious answer, but what are some other things to look for when picking the right furniture?
Sure. Well, one of the things that I referenced was construction. So construction details are very important. You want to look for a frame that's solid hardwood, avoid particle board, things like that. If you're looking at leather, for instance, one of the things that I represent here at our house and I tell people to look for if they're looking for leather is fully aniline dyed. That means it's dyed all the way through to the underside of the hide. So when you turn it over, you're going to see that same color come through. When you feel that, you know, underside of the hide, you're going to see it. You're going to feel it. It's not what we call split leather. So again, that's what you're going to be paying a little more for up front, but it's worth it in the long run. In terms of fabrics, we have amazing fabrics on the market today that are great for, again, families, pets, families with small children, grown-ups too, because grown-ups spill things. And we have something called Krypton, which is the highest level of performance fabric. If you spill something on it, it'll bead up on the surface. it'll roll off. It'll allow you to get to it before it sets into the fabric itself. You just blot it. Very innovative. So I would look for innovations in textiles, fabrics, area rugs, same thing. Things that are higher level performing, because it just allows you to have a little more peace of mind and less maintenance. So yeah, I would say construction and innovation are two of the big things to look for when you're seeking out furniture.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then lastly, you know, with COVID, a lot of families started spending a lot of time home. And so a lot, there are a lot of parents working, or one parent works from home. How do you balance making a space that's aesthetic, but also functional, where you can get stuff done, but it also feels cozy and comfortable, and you know, it's personalized, et cetera?
Yeah, no, that's great. So one of the ways that we can do that is to, I like to designate a space or, you know, part of a room, if you can't designate the whole room. Not a fan of, for instance, spreading out on the dining room table, because I think the dining room table should be the dining room table, right? But I love furniture that serves double duty or triple duty. So sometimes we could do something like a desk, a secretary desk, where the lid comes down and there is your surface now for work. But when you're not using it, close it, and now it's just a really beautiful piece of furniture in the room that also offers storage for you as well. So that's one way. Carving out a space, like I said, within a room. So maybe you don't have the home office, but maybe there's a part of the family room where you can put a desk and create an office within a separate, you know, within a room. That's another, I think, trick. What else could I say about bedrooms? Bedrooms are another tricky one for me, because I feel like bedrooms should offer a sanctuary, right, to us. It should be our sanctuary and be serene. But sometimes we do have to create a workspace within a bedroom. So there again, make it inviting. I think that's the big thing about wherever we are occupying that space in the home, that it should be inviting. And how do we do that? Layering things so it doesn't feel cold and sterile. So we have, you know, a picture of our friends or our family on the desk, or our pet. The desk chair should be comfortable. It should be a design that is maybe an ergonomic design, so that you're sitting there for hours, you're comfortable. Maybe I have some clients who like a stand desk, you know, that type of thing. But if you're going to have a monitor, if you're going to have, you know, and obviously you're going to have that created in there, just make sure that everything around it, there's artwork on the wall, the paint color is one that you, that makes you feel good, you know, and is tied into everything else in the room as well. Be some greenery, a plant, that kind of thing. Something that you've collected on a trip that just, again, when you look at it, makes you feel good about the space where you're working. So, yeah, but COVID was big because everybody was at home and they were together, and most people were working from home. And so once things started opening up again, the focus really stayed on the home, because they were there and they're working and they're looking around and they're saying, I want to redecorate now, you know, because they were going out, they were working outside the home and not spending as much time in it, but now they're in it and they're troubleshooting everything. So we were very busy after the world opened up again, I will say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm done with my questions for now. Is there anything you'd like to add, anything you'd like to tell our audience?
Well, this has been fun, and thank you for seeking me out. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I hope that I've shed some light on, you know, working within a budget, making the home cozy and inviting. And I would just say one of my favorite things to try to achieve is just balance, so that when you enter your space, you know, your interior space, you feel settled and you feel peaceful, And our homes should create that sense of well-being so that when, you know, all those elements come together, we just feel really good about the space that we're occupying.